guys. We're so glad you're joining us for this podcast. Our hope is that this message inspires you, challenges you, and increases your faith. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about Tree of Life Church, you can follow us on social media at Tree of Life Church. Now, here's the message.
Thank you, Pastor Gabe. I was thinking, I'll probably drink both of them. I drink a lot when I'm preaching. I don't drink a lot. I mean, you know what I mean. I drink a lot of water when I'm preaching, and I have to confess, I'm not used to preaching with a handheld. I'm always used to preaching with a headworn mic, because I like using my hands. So if I start using my hands and I'm drifting away from the mic, that's why. So I was thinking it's funny. So Pastor Gabe mentioned that I've been a pastor, and it's just funny the path that I took to becoming a pastor. But I think back in 2009, when I was a pastor at Ways of Faith, we used to be in Southside, started a monthly gathering. I think it was the first Friday of every month for, young, sit down. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, everybody's standing, looking at me, sit down. But I started a monthly gathering for Hispanic young adults. Like God like really placed that on my heart to create a space where we could come and worship. And it's funny. I mean, God uses the least likely. Like, why would I start an event for Hispanic young adults? But I did. But I invited Pastor Gabe to come speak. And, you know, I was sitting there earlier today, and I was thinking, I said, man, it only took him like 14 years to invite me to come speak. So thank you. Thank you for the invitation. But in full transparency, like when Pastor Gabe had asked me to speak a couple of months ago, but the schedule didn't work out, so then he asked me again. He said, Bobby, would you like to share what God has been speaking to you, you know, whatever God has been burdening you with? And he said, yeah. And he said, I want you to preach on May 28th. Now, I wish you would have told me that Theo was preaching on May 21st, because at first I'm thinking like, man, like Theo was such an amazing, gifted preacher. And like, I'm going to come up the week after him, and everybody's going to be, it's going to be like, we're going to go from here down to here. But what's really, really amazing about how God works, Theo kind of laid, he planted some seeds and kind of laid the groundwork for what God has been speaking to me for quite a while now. This isn't just something like God gave me this word this week. This is something that he's really been just, really kind of hit me upside the head with. And it's funny, I told Gabe last Sunday, there's a scripture that Theo referenced. And when I heard him say it, I kind of freaked out. I was like, I hope he's not going to preach my whole sermon today. Like, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to talk about next week? But anyway, he didn't, and I just thought it's cool. And in full transparency, you know, it's been a minute since I preached, since I stepped down from being a full-time pastor. And the human side of me kind of creeped in a couple of times this week. I'm like, you know what? I have a lot going on. I'm not going to be able to prepare the way I want. I shared this with Pastor Gabe. And a couple of times I almost called him and said, man, you're just going to have to, I'm going to tag you in. And, but God really convicted me, because, you know, just hearing what Theo shared last week and then knowing what God wanted me to share, I felt like I wouldn't, there's no way that I could be that disobedient and not share what God wanted me to share. So one of the things, when I used to pastor, one of the things I used to talk about all the time with couples were the different love languages. I don't know if anybody's ever read the book, The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman, but he talks about five love languages, and they're words of affirmation, you know, just saying kind things to people, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And if you're in a relationship with someone, you know, lots of time the reason there's conflict is because we're just not speaking the right love language, you know, especially as a husband. You know, I fall short all the time when it comes to my wife, Carrie, and I don't speak her love language, but it makes me think of, like, how do I show my love to my wife? You know, how do I show my love to my kids, to my friends, to my family? Like, how do I show my love to all of them? And then I started thinking, like, most importantly, how do I show my love to God? Okay, because that's, and it's funny, just even today, Gabe, the things you were saying, like, it all just kind of, like, it just all keeps coming back. But, like, how do I show my love to God? And I know a lot of you, well, I mean, probably only a couple people here know my story. I'm 56, and I know that's shocking to a lot of you. I am 56, but I didn't even become a Christian. I didn't start following Christ till I was 34. And I use that a lot to encourage people that are you know, they're just struggling and they don't feel like they're, you know, they feel like they're falling short. And I'm like, dude, I didn't even start following Christ until I was 34. And he's used me to do some amazing things. And I would love to believe that he's not done using me yet. But for years, I had this very, like this really warped view of like what it meant to love God and follow him. And it was just like what I came up on my own. Like, I knew who Jesus was. Even when I wasn't a believer, if you asked me, I knew who Jesus was. If you asked me if I believed in him, I would say yes. If you asked me if I loved God, I would say yes. I mean, I would say yes to all those things. But if you asked me how I showed it, I may not have been able to answer so quickly. Because, like, in my mind, it's just crazy, man, when I think about it. Like, just the things I used to think. But, like, in my mind, this is literally what I used to thought. Because I'd never robbed a bank, and I'd never killed anybody, and I thought that I was a pretty nice guy. I thought that I was cool with God. I thought that that showed God that I loved him, and it would earn me a one-way ticket to heaven. That's literally what I thought. And I wouldn't plan on sharing this, but only by God's grace and mercy, a childhood friend of mine was praying for me for 2 years that I would come to really, really know him. And took 9/11, of all things. God used 9/11 to really, like, just shake me and help me realize that I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. In September 16, 2001, that's when things began to change. But I thought that I was okay with God, and this was in spite of me living my life 100% for me in a complete 180 of what it should like to live my life if I was following Christ. And I mean, this is a sermon series in itself. Like, I mean, I was a horrible adulterer. I was a drug user. I was a drug dealer. Like, I always had a hustle going on. Like, it was, again, I'm going to talk about God's grace and mercy a lot. It's only by the grace of God that I'm here sharing with you without a plexiglass wall between us. I'm not wearing an ankle monitor. And if anybody is wearing an ankle monitor, I mean, I'm not, you know, that's cool. I'm glad you're here. But I met with a guy about a month ago, a friend of mine's brother who just got out of prison. He's 51. He spent 29 of his 51 years in prison. And when we were sitting there, I literally began to weep. And I don't think I even shared this with you, Carrie. I began to weep because I thought that the only thing different between me and him was he got caught and I didn't get caught. And it doesn't mean I was, you know, a smarter criminal than him or anything. It's just God had a different plan and path for me. But we were both sitting there together. But I want you to think about your own life for a minute. Like, how do you show your love to the people closest to you? If you're married, like, how do you show your love to your spouse? How do you show your love to your kids? How do you show, if you're dating, how do you show your love to your boyfriend or girlfriend? How do you show your love to your friends and family? And then most importantly, how do you show your love to God? Like, how does God know that you love him? Okay? And you might say, well, he knows that I love him by believing. Scripture says that even the demons believe. So, you know, maybe by just being here today. And I'm not saying that these things are bad, but maybe you feel like, hey, I show up to church every Sunday, so God knows that I love him. You know, maybe it's by serving. You know, you think that these are all the ways that you show God that you love him. You might think, you know what, I do a lot of good things. I try to do good things whenever I can. Isaiah tells us that our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And don't get me to talk about what filthy rags means. That's like, it's disgusting. If you know, you know. And if you don't know, we'll talk after service and I'll tell you. But this is the way most people think. This is the way I used to think, that I'll be a good Christian. I'll stay away from the big sins. I won't smoke as much. I won't cuss as much. I won't drink as much. I won't watch pornography as much. I won't do the things that I used to do as much. And then God's going to be honored by that and know that I love him. But see, the problem with that way of thinking is it's not biblical. It's not biblical. And like, we use phrases all the time like, oh man, you know, she just loves the Lord. You know, she just loves the Lord. And maybe she does. But most of the time, when we say those things and we think those things, it's based on what we think defines love for God, not what Scripture says. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard of John Piper, but he's a pastor, but he wrote a book called God is the Gospel. And in his book, he essentially asks whether we're in love with God or not. And here's what he says. He says, the critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness, with all the friends you ever had on earth, all the food you ever liked, all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, and all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict, no natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ wasn't there? And how many of us would hear those words and say, you know, I might just be okay with that? You see, for most of us, I'm not going to say for most of us, and when I'm sharing, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself first and foremost. A lot of us get caught up in, we follow Christ because we're trying to avoid hell, not because we're in love with the one that created us. And see, why is it important that we love God? Why is it important? So let's take a look and let's see what Scripture says about what it should look like and why it's important. So we read in Mark's Gospel, this is what we read. So Jesus is asked, what's the greatest of all the commands? And you know, sometimes when Jesus is asked a question, he'll answer with hyperbole, which is like this really exaggerated story, like, you know, an illustration, like a camel fitting through the eye of the needle. Or he'll tell a parable, a story where, you know, the meaning is kind of there for you to discover. But when Jesus is asked this question, what's the greatest commandment? He just bottom lines it. Like, there is no fluff, there is no filler. He just gets straight to the bottom line. It's like my beautiful wife, Carrie. It's amazing to me that she can't remember where she put her phone like 2 minutes ago, but she can remember like every detail of every dream she had the night before. And I'm like, how does this even work? Like, you know, babe, can you find my phone, you know, ping my phone in the house. And I'm like, you just had your phone. But she can remember every detail of every dream she's had. She remembers every detail of every show that she's had or watched, and that she wants to share me, you know, she wants to tell me like everything. And like, I'm just like, let's just get to the bottom line. You know, if it's a movie, like, did they live? Did they die? Like, what happened? Like, I don't need all of that. Like, just get to the bottom line. And that's what Jesus does. In Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, it says, and one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered. And by the way, he's quoting from Deuteronomy when he answers. He says, the most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he quotes from Leviticus. He says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no one other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And this is what I love. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Like, Jesus just like punked them. You know, it was like mic drop. But they didn't. But Jesus told him, we are to love him with everything in us. With all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. All. And all means all. Not just some. Not with most. Like, Jesus should be first in every area of our lives. And see, everything that we do hinges on these two commands, loving him more than anything and loving our neighbor as ourself. Like, his priorities should be our priorities. And I like to put it into 2023 context. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, all your body and mind, and not just with your lips, your tweets, and your Facebook statuses. And see, when you're in love, when you are truly in love, you will go to great lengths to be with the one that you love. You'll drive for hours to be together, even if it's only for a few minutes. Like, you will do whatever it takes. You don't mind staying up late to talk. You're miserable when you're apart. And like, my wife and I, Carrie. What is that? My wife Carrie and I. I knew there's something. You ever done that? Like you just say something, you know, that doesn't sound right. Or you read a word and you're looking at a word that you say all the time and you're like, it just doesn't look right. My wife Carrie and I, we've been married for over 19 years. We met online on Match.com. So ladies, if any of y'all are ever wonder whether online dating works or not, hey, give it a shot. You might end up with, you know, hitting the jackpot like Carrie did. But this, okay, this is a true story. We met on Match.com. We dated for 2.5 months and we got married. And we've been married for 19 years. And I knew, like I know, you know, it sounds like fantasy. I knew when I saw her the very first time in person that I was going to marry her. And I told her that. And it scared her off for a while. But she came back. And, but we had this one day in our lengthy time of dating, the 2.5 months that we dated, we had this one day that we call our marathon date. And it really kind of defined our relationship. And at the time, I lived in West Fort Worth. She lived in Louisville. It was a Saturday. She drove to Fort Worth, and we went. We caught an early movie, I think, at Ridgemar Mall. Stuck on Me. Has anybody ever seen Stuck on Me with Matt Damon, where he's like conjoined twins? It's a horrible movie. That's probably why you've never seen it. But anyway, we went and saw this movie. We went and ate lunch at over on Main Street at, it used to be called El Acedero. We went and ate there, and then we hung out, and then we went and dropped her car off in Louisville. We went to the Dallas Mavericks game that night. They played the Lakers. We went and hung out after that with a friend of hers, which I love to point out, up until that time, like, we'd never kissed, and she couldn't resist any longer. She reached over the table and gave me our first kiss, and I don't know, maybe like around 2, something like that, I dropped her off. And then as I drove back home, we talked on the phone. And we talked on the phone till 6 o'clock in the morning, okay? And that's what it's like when you're really in love with somebody. And how many of us, we would never do that with God. You know what I mean? Like, if we're just being real, like we'll do it to impress somebody. We'll do it to try to show somebody here how much we love them. But like, would we do that with God? You know, we give him the bare minimum. We give him, most of the time, our leftovers, our scraps. And it's crazy to me, like, what we'll do to show somebody here how much we love them, and we don't even give it a second thought of really showing God how much we love him. So, all right, we know it's important to love God. And why is it important? Because Jesus said it. And if Jesus said it, I mean, that makes it important. But what should it look like, okay? Like, when I was talking about the love languages, like, Carrie's love language, primary love language is quality time. Like, she just wants us to be around each other. Like, she wants to, you know, if I'm going to the store or whatever, it's just like, let's just be together. And mine, I would say probably acts of service, maybe, you know, words of affirmation. Those are the things, you know, those are our love languages. But here's a question. What is God's love language? Jesus tells us exactly what it is in the span of 8 verses in John chapter 14, all right? John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says in verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then in verse 23, Jesus again says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You see, just like Jesus extended his love to us through obedience, he expects the same thing from us. See, Jesus' love language is obedience. That's what he wants from us. That's what he deserves from us. That's what he expects from us. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in human form, this is Paul writing, being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. See, Jesus showed his love to us through obedience. And it wasn't after we had everything figured out. It wasn't after we had cleaned up our act. It was, we read in Romans 5:8, this is enough there, that while we were still sinners, God demonstrated his great love for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross. But it's obedience. That's his love language. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3-5 says, and By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Look, there are lots of great things that we can do, lots of good things that we can do, but if we're not doing what Jesus has told us to do, none of it matters. Like, the truth is not in us. And see, like a legalist reads all of this backwards. This is the way a legalist reads it. You will keep my commandments if you love me. Okay? In other words, like, we have to prove our love to God by doing what he commands. So, like, commandment keeping becomes our duty. It's like, it's a condition that we must meet if we're to enjoy his love. That's the way somebody they have a legalistic point of view. But see, someone who's walking in grace reads it exactly the way Jesus said it. He understands that commandment, keeping his commands, are a byproduct of love. See, I do what Jesus says because I love him, not to try to prove that I do. Does that make sense? You know, Julian, my now 18-year-old son, when he was 4 years old, we used to live in Saginaw, and I had a desk in the front of the house, and he came up to me, and, you know, he'd pop up on my lap. He couldn't do that now. He's 6'1", 180. He'd probably crush me, but he came and hopped up on my lap. And if you're a parent, I don't know if you've asked, you know, like you ask your son or your daughter, you know, you're giving them a hug, and you say, hey, do you love me? And they're like, yeah, I love you. But this time I asked Julian, I said, hey, I said, do you think your dad loves you? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, how do you know that I love you? He said, because you take care of me. Like, you teach me things. You know, I spend time with him. I said, do you love me? And he said, yeah. I said, how can I tell that you love me? He said, because I do what you say. No wonder Jesus tells us to be like children. You know what I mean? But see, he can tell that I love him because I take care of him. And I can tell that he loves me because he does what I say. And you might be thinking, you know what, yeah, Bobby, this all sounds good. I think I'm doing pretty well in these areas. I think I do a good job of showing God that I love him. But here's the thing. And this is why it's so important. Like, we can't mislead ourselves. Like, it's so easy. And I'm going to tell you, this as a pastor, it is so easy to get caught up in, like, you have this conversion moment, and it's all about Jesus for, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever, you know, and then it's so easy to get caught up in this this cycle of being a Christian, even as a pastor. Like, it was so easy to get caught up in, you know, what are we going to do next Sunday? How can we make next Sunday better than last Sunday? How can we do all of these things? And you just get caught up in doing all these things for Jesus most of the time. Sometimes we're doing them for us. You know, they make us feel good, if we're honest. But here's one we can't mislead ourselves. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, this is Jesus, red letters. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, again, red letters. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. See, we can be doing a lot of things in the name of Jesus, but we're not doing the things that Jesus wants us to do. Second John, and there's only one chapter, verse 9 says that anyone who wanders away from this teaching, and what's this teaching? That love means doing what God has commanded us, has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains of the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. So if Jesus said that the way that we show our love to him is by obeying his commands, and in my opinion, his opinion is the only one that counts, like, what does that look like? What does it look like then to obey the commands of Jesus? If you go on Google, like, and search the commands of Jesus, like, you're going to find all kinds of lists. I found lists from 6 to over 100. We don't have time to discuss every single command Jesus gave us, either directly or implicitly. I just want to look at a few key ones, okay? Love is the basic commandment he has given to us. Love God and love one another. Like, boom. I mean, that's like, if we love God more than anything. We love our neighbor as ourself. It's going to take care of everything. But the problem is we fall short in both areas. And see, without this love, I have no assurance that I'm a child of God. Why do I say that? We know that we have passed from death into life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Without this love, the world has no proof that we're his disciples. By this sign shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? That you love one another. And then without this love, we have no proof that we're filled with his Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. And see, the real proof of love is obedience to his commandments, because keeping his commandments is the way that he's asked me to demonstrate my love for him. And see, we so often we give God lip service. Like, we express our love through words. I mean, we sing songs of devotion with our hands raised in worship, which is awesome. But if we're not keeping his commandments, all of that representation of love is meaningless. Like, it doesn't mean anything. And see, Jesus tells us to not love in words only, but in deeds and truth. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. You see, the best way that you can show God that you love him is to obey him. Like, plain and simple. Just like Julian. I mean, Julian gets it. And see, I want to highlight, as I begin to wrap up, I guess. I'm just looking at the clock. I'm like, man, we're not used to getting out of here this early. I'm gonna call Pastor Gabe up for part two of the sermon recap. We can do the podcast right after this, breaking down the sermon. But now I just want to look at just a few of the commands of Jesus, and like what it looks like to obey these commands. First and foremost, Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20 tells us, and Jesus came. I don't have my glasses. And my wonderful family, who I texted, all three of them, said, can somebody bring my glasses? And I got a thumbs up by one who will remain nameless. None of them brought my glasses. So, but Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All right. Go and make disciples. These are some of the last words that Jesus said to his disciples. And I always feel like parting words are like the most important. Like, if you've ever, you know, like Gabe, y'all go out of town. I mean, California frequently. I don't know if you have somebody house sit for you, you know. But I know one time we were going to India on a trip. And we had somebody that was coming to house sit with us. So there's a lot of chit chat. We're talking about a lot of things. But when we're getting ready to leave, that's when the conversation got serious. And that's when, you know, the last things that I said to the person that was house sitting were the most important, because these were the things that I wanted to make sure that they remembered and the things that they did. And I feel like one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples was to go and make disciples. Like, we have to be about disciple making. And lots of people have lots of different definitions of what's a disciple. I'm going to give you a very simple definition of what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is somebody who hears and obeys. That's it. You hear and you obey. You hear the word of God, you hear the teachings of Jesus, and you obey them. That's it. And then you go and you teach other people how to do that. And I don't care if this is your first time in church today. You're qualified to make disciples of somebody that's never been here, you know? There's always somebody that you can pour into and invest in and that you can disciple. Another thing that Jesus has told us is to forgive others. We see it in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to be forgiven by God for all the messed up things that we do on a regular basis? Anybody? We all want to be forgiven for the things that we do, but why is it so hard for us to forgive people that have done us wrong? Like, why? Like, I've heard so many believers say things like, you know, like, I have to love them, but I don't have to like them. You know, like, how do you reconcile that? You know what I mean? Like Jesus literally keeps no record of our wrongdoing. Like, it's like he wipes the slate clean when he forgives us. But we like to keep things, we forgive people to a point, but we like to hold on to things. We like to store up things that we can use as ammunition later. But if we really want to show God that we love him, we have to forgive others. This is a big one here. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 47. Like, love, bless, and pray for your enemies. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I told you I don't have my glasses. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Here's the thing. If you only love the people that are easy to love, I mean, big deal. That's what Scripture says. Like, big deal. Everybody can do that. But like, how are you doing in the area of loving people that are hard to love? It could be somebody in your family. It could be a coworker. It could be your neighbor. Like, we not only do we have to love on those people, we have to pray for those people. How many of us pray for people that we know don't like us? Like, how many of us like actively pray for that coworker that's just hard to be around? Do we pray for them? Or we wait until they're not around and then we're talking about them with our other coworkers? We have to love those people. We have to bless those people. We have to pray for those people. You can be the most spiritually gifted person in this room, and if you don't love, it's like a clanging cymbal. It's just a bunch of noise. Like, it doesn't mean anything. What's something else that Jesus had told us to do? To give. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. I'm going to do it like this. These words are bigger. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will also be measured back to you. Okay, look. You have to be a good steward, not only of your financial resources, but of your time, of your treasures, of your talents. Like, God has gifted you in a certain way. Don't only use it for your benefit. Like, how can God use your gifts and your talents? How can he use them just out in the kingdom? How can he use them here? And then Mark 1:15, he tells us to repent and believe. And saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. See, remember, it's not about keeping a list of do's and don'ts and avoiding the big sins. It's about having a relationship with him and obeying his commands because we love him. See, our motivation has always got to be love. And it's only by following the example of Jesus. Now, I was sharing this with Gabe earlier. How many of you growing up, you're eating in your bedroom and your dad would come in there or your mom would come in there and say, you're not supposed to be eating in your bedroom. Like, I don't want roaches and all this stuff. You know, come in here, you never clean up and all that. Like, you're not supposed to eat in your bedroom. Like, you get in trouble for it. And like 2 days later, you go into your parents' bedroom and there's your dad like in bed eating a big bag of Doritos. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, dad, like, I thought you said we're not supposed to be eating in our bedrooms. And then your dad says, do as I say, not as I do, right? It's the opposite with Jesus. Jesus is never going to ask us to do anything that he didn't first do himself. Like, he has given us the perfect model, the perfect blueprint for what we should be doing. And see, when we begin to follow his example, and like giving the Father full control of our lives, dying to ourselves, which that's where it starts, then we can fulfill the most important command of loving him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. I just read this yesterday, and I wanted to share this. And this is what I'm going to end with. And then I'm going to ask some of the prayer team, if there's anybody here, to come up to the front so we can pray for people. But Charles Spurgeon, he's like an old school preacher. He says this. He says, another proof of the conquest of the soul for Christ will be found in a real change of life. If the man does not live differently from what he did before, both at home and abroad, his repentance needs to be repented of, and his conversion is fiction. What does that mean? If you really know Christ, if you have a real relationship with Christ, you are going to be changed. And I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not talking about ever, you know, not ever messing up again. We read in Scripture, even as disciples, I mean, you know, they still fell short. We're going to fall short. But what I'm talking about is, it's not about just avoiding the things that you used to do. It's about living a changed life, not only here on Sunday morning, but when you're at home. When you're with your family, when you're home alone and your family's not there, it's about truly being changed. I want you to just think about this. What would it look like if all of us, every single person here today, let our love for Him lead us in every area of our life? Like, if we just said, you know what? Yeah, I've been falling short. Like, God, I know I haven't been showing you that I love you the way that you want me to show you. What if today, like starting today, like every person here, we said, you know what? I'm gonna be all in, like Pastor Gabe's t-shirt said. I know I'm gonna mess up along the way, but every day I'm going to love you as much as I possibly can. And I'm gonna love others the way that you want me to. Like, what would that look like? Like, what kind of church would this be if that kind of love just like radiates from everybody? And then somebody that's never experienced that love walks through the doors for the first time. And they can just tell that, you know what? There's something different about this place. It's not, because if we're honest, this is my opinion, one of the biggest problems and hindrances, one of the biggest problems with Christianity, one of the biggest problems with following Christ are Christians. Because there are a lot of Christians that are some of the most unloving, hateful, hurtful people you could ever meet. And if we're trying to tell somebody about the love of Christ, but we're not living it out for ourselves, our kids, more than anything, you can't tell them, do as I say, not as I do. Because they're going to say, well, you know what? You're not even doing this yourself. You know, the people in our lives, when they see us, like, you know what? Yeah, you Monday morning, you come in talking about how great the worship was, how great Pastor Gabe's sermon was. But then I see you doing all these things Tuesday through Saturday. Like, there's just, it doesn't match up. But imagine if everyone here today said, you know what? It's going to be different. Like, God, I'm going to love you the way that you want me to love you and the way that you deserve to be loved by me. And I'm going to love my neighbor the way that you want me to. And what I want to do, if there's anybody from the team, Gabe, that can come up here to pray for people, look, we're all in the same boat. Like, we all need grace, we all need forgiveness, we all need a Savior. But if you know in your heart, and if you're not sure, right now ask God to search your heart and reveal to you the areas where you just haven't loved Him the way that you should be loving Him. If there's somebody in your life that you know that you haven't been loving the way that God wants you to love them, if you need to repent of your repentance because it didn't mean anything other than lip service, then I want you to come up to the front and just let somebody pray for you. Like, let this be a new day. Let it be a new beginning. But not just another new day and another big new beginning that's just like, you know, you're in this cycle. Let this be a day where things really change. Where you really say, okay, God, like, I'm all in. Like, let's be real. And if that's you, just come up and let somebody pray for you. I want to pray. Father, just forgive me, Lord, for all the times that I make it about me, Father. For all the times that I fall short, Lord. For all the times that I don't love you the way that I should. For all the times that I don't love my wife and my family the way that I should, Father, I just ask you to forgive me, Lord. I repent of that, Father. Search my heart, Lord. Like, reveal to me any area, Lord, where I'm trying to hang on to it, Father, where I just won't let go. But then also give me the strength, the power, the courage, Lord, to do something about it, Father. Help me understand, Father, just what it means to truly follow you, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here today, Lord, that they've been calling themselves a Christian, Lord, but they know that they just haven't been living it, Lord, I pray that you just reveal yourself to them in a way that maybe they haven't experienced before, Lord. Father, if there's anyone here today that has never taken that step of beginning a relationship with you, Father, I pray that today's the day, Lord, that they turn from whatever it is that's been filling that space in their life, Father, and they turn to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for loving us in spite of us, Father. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the message. Remember to follow us on social media at Tree of Life Church or visit us at treeoflife.church. See you next time.